Sawubona sihlobo zasepoko 20 namkelekile kwisiqendu esivala ngaso u-season 2 isiqendu 30. Siyabulela ke bethuna ngokuba nikhenkethe nathi naluhamba oluhambo namane nisiboleka indlebe zenu nasimamela iveki neveki. Ngoku ke sivala le season ngohlobo oluhlukileyo lohluke ngokuba siphendula umbuzo oye wathunyelwa kuthi sesinye sezihlobo sethu bethunana. Kwathi ke ngokuba ibisisihloko ebenikhe ndancokola ngaso kwelinye iqonga ndathi mandimphendule ngayo lo ncoko. Kodwa ke siyakumema into yokokubana nawe uthumelo wakho umbuzo xa unawo. Mhlawumbi kukhona isihloko esakuphosayo apha kwiziqendu zethu, okanye kukhona isiqendu oqonba okanye isihloko oqonba kudala kuyilindele le topic kuba mayikhe ide ibe khona apha epokothweni, into nayo ayide ifike. Izawufikiswa nguwe ke sihlobo sam uba usibuze apha kweli qonga sikuphendule, kuba kaloku umbuzo owubuzayo uwedwa apho nabanye kunokwenzeka into yoba bayawubuza. Ngoko ke sukuba neentloni. Ndiyayazi abanye benu bathi yazi mna andisithembanga kakhulu isiXhosa sam. Njengalo sizawuphendula namhlanje siwuphendula ubuzwe ngesilungu, sawuphendula ngesilungu. Ukanti ke nawe uba uyafuna ukubuza ngesiXhosa umbuzo wakho, ngena usithumele i-voice note ku-Instagram, ku-Facebook naku-WhatsApp ku-epokothweni okanye u-072-650-7641. Usibuze umbuzo okudala ulindele ukuba namhlawumbi isihloko esithile sawude sifikelele kuso. Ndiyathemba ke uzawuthi zava uthathe into yakho yophunga njengesixhelo, uthathe nesibhilivana sakho apho ubhala khona, ukwazi ukwenza ii-notes zakho njengoba siphendula esi sihlobo siye sasithumela i-voice note.
Good day. Babalwa, my question is, I have 2 kids, 5-year and 10-year-old, and I have an education policy for them from one of the financial institutions. My worry is that what happens when, if I die and my kids are still under the age of 18 years, will they receive the money? Or how are they going to access those funds in my absence? And looking at the fact that I don't have anyone to put there as a beneficiary that I trust, and that amount that I'm investing, will it be really worth it for university fees?
This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking.
Today we're going to be touching on understanding the purpose and importance of education funds in South Africa. Do you have an education fund? Did you open up an education fund for your little one when you found out that you were pregnant, or maybe they were young, maybe they were toddlers? Did it work for you? Those who've started and had an education fund, was it beneficial for you? And what did your education fund look like? Was it a formal education fund that you opened? Was it an informal education fund that you opened? Did you guys just decide to gazata in the bank account and then say this is for the education and the future of the child? Did you ever open up an education fund, so as to say, for your child, for school? So let's talk a little bit about it. We've got joining us Babalwa Nongenge, who's a financial services professional, to give us just insights on that one. Babalwa, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Thanks for having me, Faith.
And we've got Chris Gilmore, investment analyst. Chris, what a pleasure to have you. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Good afternoon. Good to be here.
Absolutely. And then in a short while, we're going to be joined by Celine Sonde, who's the head of group savings and investments at Ellen Gray. Celine, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Welcome to Power Lunch.
Good afternoon, Faith, and thank you for having me. Good afternoon to all the listeners.
Maybe let's start off with this. And Chris, perhaps even giving us the understanding of the economic status of the child, of the country, really, and the impact that this is having on education as a resource and as a cost.
Okay. And look, we could spend all day debating this, but suffice to say that education, like many other aspects of state spending, has suffered over the years. to the extent that, you know, if you send your kids to a state school, it's not going to be the best. So, you know, it's the kid isn't going to learn an awful lot, and it's pretty dysfunctional. It's very strange because in terms of international comparisons about what South Africa spends on education, it's right up there. It's actually very high. The trouble is it doesn't get a lot of bang for its buck. A lot of it's wasted. So therein lies the problem. Mm-hmm. That's not going to change. So therefore, I think if you as a parent decide that you want the best for your child, you're going to have to go outside the state system and you're going to have to bite the bullet and realize that you're going to have to go to a private education of some kind. And there's a great deal of choice. It's a bewildering range of choice that confronts you. And you're going to have to pay for it.
You know, you're speaking about how there is money, Babalwa, in the education system. It's just about how the money is being used, so as it were. But do we educate our people enough around just how much it costs for education in this country?
If you allow me, Faith, I think let me start with the words you used in the introduction of education fund, because I think that's often where a lot of people get lost a little bit. Because people think that a fund is a fund is a fund, whereas I think it's very important to get into the gemba of whether you've got a product that you're putting money away at or on every month, and whether that product is a risk product or whether it's an investment type of product, because those have two different purposes. Mm. And even with those two categories, there are older generation type products and there are new generation type of products. You will hear someone, for example, complaining, saying that I've been putting money towards this policy and I got very little or I got nothing, only to find on closer inspection that the thing that was being protected by that particular product was an event such as death, disability, severe illness, or a combination of the three. Whereas in an investment or savings type, that's the word you should think of there is growth. And the difference just becomes, if you put it in a savings, is it going to grow at the bank's interest rate? If you put it in the market, is it going to be tracking, you know, whatever index? And these are the things to your question around education that are really not common knowledge. I don't know if, you know, you just find people content to just put money away, but they don't understand whether they are protecting an event such as death, disability, severe illness, or they are growing. And secondly, if you're protecting an event, what happens? What are the T's and C's saying around what happens in the event that the death, disability, or severe illness doesn't happen? So you're right. There's not a lot of common knowledge. And I see there's a lot of people who on social media, there's quite a lot of financial education type of content, which is great. But I think this is perhaps one of the areas where listeners would benefit from approaching a qualified, adequately, educated type of professional to give them advice, because then that advice looks holistically at a person's portfolio, not just from an investment perspective or a savings only, but also thinking of things like what happens posthumously, what's the role of trust in the provisions that an individual has made.
And we can expound on that, Babalwa, and you brought in a beautiful analogy around what happens, let's say that the parents of the child pass away. Heaven forbid, and we've seen this recently where many of the kids now have gone child-headed households, and where are there's the money in the trust? Does it pay for the education? How do I make sure that I protect that? But Salim, you know, in the interest of making it all about growth and in the interest of being able to put money aside for the education, how soon does one start, really? And what does one do?
Well, I want to say Chris's point around the education systems. I'm a parent of four kids. So my options when I was thinking about my own kids' education was like, look, I really want to give them a better education than what I had. And I looked towards the state system, and there were a few schools that we looked at, but they were all fully subscribed. And so the net result is we had to end up going and paying up for a private school education. Mm. And then to Babalwa's point, is the fact that when you start saving, you need to focus on kind of growth. Couldn't agree more. and costs and where you're actually investing your money. And so the one interesting thing for me certainly has been kind of the choices that COVID has brought along. So when I started schooling my kids, my son's at university now, we were thinking of traditional schooling and sending them to kind of a normal traditional school where you go in and you could sit down and do your work. But with the advent of COVID, we all know that. We're all kind of working from home, and most businesses are moving to some sort of hybrid type of system. And so online schooling has also become a little bit more pervasive. And I think it does provide kind of a different option and possibly a cheaper alternative to parents that are looking for other forms of education for their children, something to think about. But moving towards the more pragmatic thing about saving. So one of the things that I kind of always say to myself is that the hardest thing is to start somewhere, right? And so when you kind of go to Google and you Google kind of education and cost of education, some of the numbers that get spewed out and kind of get thrown out can be overwhelming for most people, most South Africans, I think, ranging from 50,000 rand for a good Model C school maybe to 300,000 or 250,000 if you want to send your kids to Michael House or Hilton.
Ooh, and hold it there, Salim. We'll expound further on those costs. How soon or when did you start putting away money for your child's education? Have you ever done that? Whether it's in the form of a trust or whether it's in a form of an account, whether it's in a form of just money put away titled education. Has it worked for you? Let's share the tips on 0861-987-000. We're still with Babalwa Nonkenye, who's the financial services professional, Chris Gilmore, investment analyst, who, by the way, is joining us from Northern Scotland. And then we've also got Salim Sonde, who is the head of group savings and investment at Allan Gray. Salim, before we went into the news, we're just shedding some light in terms of just the disparities, really, and the high levels of inequality within education, but most importantly, even the cost of education.
100%, Faith. It's quite scary, right? So then the question is, like, everybody wants to do the best that they can for their kids. We all want to give our kids what we never had, and education forms of like a big part of that. And so parents go through a process understanding what is the education they can afford, what do they want to give them. So typically, I think some people are fortunate enough to be able to fund their kids' education from their disposable income. Like, I think some people are able to do that. But then again, there are other people that are not able to do that and saying, look, I want to just save something for my kid's education. I might not know where he's going to go to school because he's 5 years old and I haven't made all those decisions. So my shout out to all the listeners would be the hardest part often is starting. Starting to put a little bit away consistently over a long time and, as Babalwa said, into growth assets can make a huge difference over a long term. And you might not need to tap into that savings because you might be able to fund it as your career grows, as you get a better job, as your salary increases. You might not, but you might need to tap into it. So think of it as a rainy day education fund that you have to top up your disposable income where you fall short. I think those are important things, but starting and developing the financial grit and discipline to keep doing that over and over again. And I think Babalwa makes an important point about reaching out and getting good professional advice that can help you plot that journey and coach you through that journey.
Well, I'm hoping that you all three can help us plot and coach us through our journeys of being able to navigate the education space. You know, Chris, as Salim was speaking about how we need to be able to look at, and Babalwa touched on this as well, growth assets. What are growth assets?
Growth assets, as the name suggests, are assets that over time are going to grow faster, hopefully, than the rate of inflation. Because inflation is a big killer in any country in the world. You know, if you just leave your money in a bank account, you're going to get a rate of interest that might appear nice in the face of it. But rarely, if ever, are you going to outpace inflation biting. And the only way you're going to do that is to put it into growth assets. Now, growth assets, as far as the JSE are concerned,
would be into growth companies, things like the tech sector and stuff like that. Look, you want to go for a balanced portfolio. That's the essence of it. You want to go, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. You want to try and reduce your risk as much as possible. At the same time, you want a decent return. Now, I can't tell you I've forgotten the exact figures over the years, but the two other panelists, I'm sure, can help me in this one. But I seem to remember that JSE, over the longer term, has probably given you about 14% compounded over many, many years. And that easily beats the rate of inflation. So that's the kind of thing you want to be putting your money into. Mm-hmm. And whether it's unit trusts, decent unit trusts, you know, good, safe unit trusts, safe in inverted commas, safe as it possibly can be. And again, I agree with Babawa. You've got to go and talk to a good financial advisor, somebody who can look at your overall portfolio, because, you know, this is not something that must be seen in isolation. This is something that has to be seen as being part of your wealth, if you like. Yeah. And, you know, the sooner you start, the better, because the power of compounding can be shown to be the most wonderful thing. I think Albert Einstein referred to compound interest as one of the great wonders of the world. The sooner you start, the better it is. And, I mean, if we take this to this logical conclusion, as soon as a child is born, I think, honestly, you should start putting money away on a regular basis into growth assets, and don't try not to actually access that money. And by the time the child is in primary and secondary school and into tertiary education, that money will have grown and will be there and available for that kid to actually access those funds.
Yeah, you know, as Chris is speaking, Babal, I'm thinking, sure, how many kids would love to study abroad, right? And would like to go to the likes of, and have the option, right, to go to the likes of, Oxford and Harvard, and NYU, as much as they would like the option of going to Wits and UJ and Stellenbosch and the like. So to have the option of choice available to them, but that choice for many of us, even black people, is very limited because of the money it costs to have a child to school in New York or go to Harvard, because you have to pay accommodation. You have to pay accommodation, flights, school itself. So you could be spending in the millions for it. So to mitigate against that, Chris was saying, as soon as a child is born, look at putting into growth assets. Can you just expound on growth assets, right? So the option of putting it into growth assets, whether it's JSE companies and the likes, versus, let's say I put it in an interest account or interest bearing account in the bank, and then I just shut it down and I just say, okay, every year I'm going to put in 30,000, or every year I'm going to put in 10,000 for my education. Pros and cons.
So when we put money away, typically, because we earn in rands, it's an easiest example to make. We are typically preparing for expenditure in rand. And remember what I was saying earlier about there are older generation type of savings and investment versus older generation risk type protection, and there are newer generations in both categories. So, and the system in South Africa has evolved to such an extent that you do now get endowments that are quite accessible to the ordinary man, that can prepare parents to start putting away money in foreign currency. So when we say growth assets, we shouldn't be thinking only of the South African stock market, because there are investments that we, within obviously the South African Reserve Bank's limitations of what we can take offshore every year, there are options that are quite affordable for the retail investor to put funds away in preparation. So you put funds away in dollars today, with the option in future of either bringing those funds back into the country as rands to spend in rands, as well as to keep the money, you know, in an account where you can spend in foreign currency to provide for things like what you're saying. like spending money in the US, in New York, etc., it's then that is the value of good professional advice, because the person will ask you all of the right questions, because we all have different aspirations for our children. Some people know straight off the bat, I don't want my children to go to the same universities that I went to. I want them to go outside of the country. Mm-hmm. And so that can be a little bit more of a guided conversation, because we know that it's going to be going into growth assets, but focusing mainly in the U.S. market, because you're putting a nest egg away to be able to spend U.S. dollars and hedge currency risk to an extent, as well as take care of what if maybe I have a pre-existing condition or a hereditary condition in my family. I already know that I'm predisposed, for example, to hypertension, meaning that a growth asset investment on its own is not actually sufficient. I need, in addition to that, to take out a risk type product, which is going to cater in the event that I don't live long enough to keep putting these funds away, so that when I pass away, there is that provision, because there are very sophisticated products today which allow you to put money for preschool, for high school, for university undergraduate, both private and public, as well as for the provision of posthumously when I pass away, if I have chosen that my child should go and study overseas, which then becomes part of a broader, more comprehensive plan that takes care of the risk, the growth, as well as partly estate planning. Because when I'm no longer here to act upon my own wishes, that is where the trust may come in as a solution, which is why it becomes important that while I'm still alive, I think through those things. Who are the trustees? Do they understand my wishes better? So it becomes a broader conversation than just where the child goes to school.
Sure. That is fantastic. You really expounded, and I want us to labor on this thing of foreign currency as well, because you're saying that if we're looking at, you know, having a child study here, let's look at it, but having a child study in dollars and pounds, it's going to make us shift our perception and our perspective in investment opportunities. And we'll come back to that point, but I want us to go to the phone lines on 0861987000. Have you started to save, or did you ever save for your kids' education? How did you do it? Did you put money in an interest-bearing account every month? Did you put it in growth assets? Did you just invest it? Or are you just going by the grace of God, so as it were? 0861987000. James in Sandton. Hi, James.
Hi, Faith. How are you?
Good and you, sir. Go ahead.
Faith, very interesting topic. I just want to say to that one, if you're going to die maybe before your kid go to varsity, I would say the best one can be the life cover. That's the cheapest one you can do.
The life cover.
You pay 100 rand for covering R1 million. You can do that if you think you've got something that might kill you shorter than you see your kids going to university. Mm. But anyway, the one I want to say, which is some idea that I've got that I want to actually implement for myself, for my son, is to take a minimum, let's say, of 100,000 and go and buy Curo shares. Because I intend to take him to Curo.
Okay.
In a way, if he goes to school for 12 years from grade 1 to grade 12, I'm hoping that I will get some change back, if not all my money back, that I would have put him in the school.
Yeah, that is interesting. That is interesting. So then buying shares at like Curo,
a listed company like Curo, because you are paying, you're actually getting a change. You'll be getting dividends over the year. It means, obviously, dedication to the dividends. You reinvest those dividends. Mm. So you actually cash out when your child, let's say, goes to varsity. To me, you will get your change back.
I got you. Thank you very much for sharing, James. Gobela in Winterfeld. Hi.
Hey, Faith. Let me throw a spanner in the works
Sure.
here. I'm a bit disappointed at how we've allowed to be defeated. We know public schools were the thing at some stage, and they are very good public schools. Should the conversation not be how do we get our public schools to be what they were? I just get a sense that we are talking about how to circumvent allowing the situation to deteriorate as it is. Should the conversation not be how do we get our public schools to be at a level of Curo, to be at a level of Saint whatever? Because I just hear me taking out money out of my pocket instead of me keeping it in my pocket.
Well,
I just want to find out. That's just my question.
Yeah, so should we not be looking at how do we better the schools that we have, including the public schools?
Absolutely.
Oh, Kobela, that might just need a political will. But let's pose it to our guests. Salim, do you want to start with this one?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it comes down to a lot of political will. I think there hasn't been an underinvestment in the schooling infrastructure. But again, we've got administrators that are failing the system. People are paying tax and the money is not being distributed where it's most needed. And on the education front, we could do a better job. And so we look towards our leadership.
But in that case then, Chris, do we have to be realistic in being able to operate within where schools are right now?
Look, the listener makes a very, very good point. And I was on Twitter a week or so ago, and Musi Maimane made the very, very same point. And it sparked off a great debate. I would throw this one back and say, well, you know, just look at cabinet ministers. Where do they send the kids to school? Do they put them to state schools? They're certainly not. They're obviously sending them to private schools. And that is an admission of failure. In my opinion, it's only when government catches a wake up and realizes that they're doing the children of South Africa a massive disservice by not investing properly. As I said right at the start, the actual money that's invested in world terms as a percentage of GDP is not out of order. In fact, it's actually very high. Mm. But you get very little bang for your buck. A lot of it's wasted. It's taken up through inefficiency and corruption and this type of thing. And it's perhaps, and I'm going back to what the listener's saying, it's about time perhaps that people stood up and said, enough now. But that's another debate for another day. What you're presented with right now is a situation where, you know, you can't really say, well, yes, the public schools should be better. We know they should be much, much better. No doubt about that. He's quite right. But when you the old adage, when you're up to your neck in alligators, there's no point in musing that your first job is to clear the swamp.
I hear you. 0861-987-000. Back to the phone lines. Tato and Centurion. Hi, Tato.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. Thanks to you, Mama. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. Interesting topic.
Thanks, my love.
So I adopted my daughter. She was 11 months. So what I did in terms of savings, besides saving for the adoption fees, I had saved for money for her preschool for a year before the adoption was finalized.
Wow.
So I think what had helped, she's now in grade one, is six. And I had gotten used to actually saving towards education. And yeah, I think that really helped a lot because I'm not talking about school fees, uniform, talking about all these other extra activities, including all the other things that we really want for our kids. She will be starting coding classes next month in March. And it's really quite expensive. So I think it's really, really time that we take into consideration the actual investment, because the money that I'm saving or I have saved is now being an expenditure at the current moment. So I'll have to think about the future, about now that she's in grade one, how do
what
I then prepare? Yes.
So Tato, just out of interest, what did you save in? Did you save in assets? Did you just put money in the bank account? How did you do it?
I just put money in a bank account every year. I think, that's my culture is I save every month. For everything that I want to do, I save. So for her, I just put money in a savings account, and I never access it until, it is due for the purpose. So that really helped. But it's the amount of money that you save. So if you're not disciplined enough, you can easily access it. But the products that are being discussed today, I think they will really help in terms of investing, because it's quite a huge amount of money now for education up until high school and after high school, what she wants to do. So it's not now that money that I can just say I can have it in a savings account.
Sure. Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you very much for sharing, Tato. I really appreciate it. Let's go to Pretoria. Letlhogonolo, hi.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we've got you. Go ahead, sir.
You know, this saddens me so much that coincidentally, this morning I had a meeting with my children's school principal, predominantly white and previously Afrikaner school, well-resourced. And, you know, part of our conversation was with regards to sharing of resources with poor communities around that school. Because these guys, year in, year out, they've got surpluses because they've got a lot of sponsors. And that goes into the kids, and which is what I think in the township is what is missing. However, like any investment, if we don't invest in long-term and disciplined portfolios, you're not going to get any growth out of it. But what saddened my heart is when he showed me an email from senior government officials refusing them to share those resources with the school next door, wherein this principal wanted to adopt it and teach these guys their, you know, the good practices so that they themselves can be lifted out of this quagmire of poor results from school.
What do you mean, Itlhogonolo? So the he showed you a message or an email coming from a government official refusing for the that proposal. Affluent school to help a less disadvantaged school?
Yes. That's why I said, you know, it dimmed my heart to say, what exactly are we trying to achieve? Yeah. In agreement, in finalizing, when I faith, I agree with the previous caller that some of us are middle class. We can afford, we've got reserves. But the majority of our people should be asking a question as to how can we pull out this education sector that keeps going into the endless pit? Because we might not rescue it. Private education alone is not going to save us.
I hear you. Oscar in Edenvale, hi.
Hi, Faith, how are you?
I'm good, and you, sir? Go ahead.
I'm good. You know what? I don't believe in saving money, but I believe in taking my money, buy properties. You know, this flat of 350,000 to 600, rent them out, make money out of them. Then when my kids are ready for school, then I can sell them.
Oh, you're doing property investment. I love property investment. So.
That's what I'm doing. You know, I've done so many flats, and I managed to take my siblings, you know, help them through that. And those flats are still there, and they're fully paid.
Beautiful.
Why take your money to Investec and Investec make money out of your money? I don't understand.
All right, well, let's pose it to Babalo. Babalo, you don't have a lot of time, but I would think at this stage in life, if you want to afford your child the best, right, the best resourcing, it's about a mixed bag, not either or. It's probably either and.
Correct, Faith. And look, the conversations, just listening to the callers, shows you that we are all at various stages of knowledge about financial matters, where shares would be relevant and risk appropriate for one investor. Property might be more relevant and more risk appropriate for the next guy. There's also various advantages and disadvantages to consider when going the unitized route, thinking about exchange-traded funds and unit trust, in that there can be some tax efficiencies there, which people need to be aware of. So this is unfortunately a conversation that we can have every day of the week, because it's not just about preference. Yes, I hear the national questions, but at the end of the day, the people that we are responsible for are our own children. Yes, we're responsible by extension for the country, but our own children will look to us when, for example, we know that we are predisposed to certain illnesses and we do have the knowledge about the various types of risk cover, which will supplement or work hand in hand with the investment or growth type of assets that are risk appropriate, so that we cover all the bases. I also want to say that there's quite a deal of education about, you know, things like what a life cover is for, because typically it's to cover the bond. A lot of people cede them to the bank to cover the bond so that the children are not homeless.
Yeah.
There are those type of risk covers which are specifically fashioned around education, so that, for example, if the growth assets I'm putting money in today, perhaps I don't live as long as the growth, then at least there's still cover, because in the event of a death or a sickness. So it's not simple. It's not one size fits all. And it's not the equal level of knowledge, which is why, yes, read, do your research, get your risk preference, you know, be comfortable what that is. But where you feel you fall short, approach a qualified person, approach a reputable institution. Somebody mentioned Investec, there's someone from Alan Gray on the line. You know, there is help today. We live in the age of social media. We live in the age of Google. Let's be people who are reading and arming ourselves with information. And let's be people who call into shows and speak to politicians where things are bothering us and where we're not clear.
Love it. Ah, I wish we had more time. Babala Nonkenye, thank you so much. Chris Gilmore, investment analyst. Salim Sonde, head of group savings and investment at Allan Gray. For you, Power Family, for engaging with us in this conversation. But perhaps it makes us jog our thinking a little bit. Being able to invest in education and handling education as an investment portfolio in itself.
Enkosi kakhulu zihlobo ngokusivumela sitshintshe izinto kancinci njengoba besenditshilo ekuqaleni nawe uyakwazi ukuwuthumela owakho umbuzo kwi-voice note ku-Instagram kufacebook uyakwazi nokuwuthumela ngowhatsapp ku-072-650-7641 kuba kaloku siyakwazi ukuthi ngokuphendula umbuzo wakho sincede nabanye sikhona ke bethuna kwi-social media platforms zethu pha kuFacebook epokothweni, kuInstagram epokothweni na kuTwitter. Sawuphindeke kwaphaya sipapashe into yokubana isizini yesithathu iqala nini na. Ungalibalike sinayo newebsite yethu www.epokothweni.co.za. Nibe nexesha elimnandi.